RachelCochrane.com presents a recording of the second prize in the Room to Write Short Story Competition 2014. Katie Boundary, written by John Adams and read by Rachel Cochrane. Back then, in the time of Pangaea, when the land was whole, those atoms, those molecules finally formed to make a living cell. The Cambrian explosion, boom. The genes that twist and turn in spirals of DNA that are the makings of me. Then the asteroid hits and the dinosaurs gone. Boom. Clear sailing from there. Years pass, millions of them. And those same particles now are surrounded by this body. The genetic fossils inside me. The mummy is out. I take the stool, drag it over to the cupboard where the food is kept. Climb up. This stool feels dangerous and wobbly. Guilt already tightens the throat. Boom. It's there nestling in the tins for the taking. I cling to the shelf and stare for the longest time. As long as I dare, she'll be back soon, perhaps. Then I decide. Grab the bag carefully down off the shaky platform. Drag it back. No evidence. Run upstairs, rip it open, and stuff those miniature chocolate eggs down my gullet. Mouth open like a cannibal bird chick. They taste different. Bad. No pleasure. No enjoyment. The shame soiling my taste buds, but too late to go back. Finally, they are all gone, and I feel racked with relief and nausea. When the mummy comes home, she says, "Are you okay?" She says it looks like you've seen that ghost of the bogeyman. I keep the place neat. No one bothers me about that. No one bothers me. They are my friends. Like friends on Facebook, I know them. They're okay. These people like to tell their stories. Some are frightening, some are funny. Some are so sad that to think about them in bed makes me weep in the night. And they say that I must have a story to tell. I say that I have no story. I doubt they will be enthralled by tales of genetic drift and punctuated equilibrium. My life is so dull, I say. Predictable. But today it is not. And of course, I do have a story to tell. 2 weeks after I ate those forbidden sweets, we were at a family gathering. Me snuggled into the mammy's arms, sliding into comfort sleep. She said in my ear, "Was it you that took those eggs, girl? They were for your gran, for the Easter time." "No, mammy, no." Off guard. She had me off guard. But I couldn't admit, even when the tears fell. The shame was too heavy. I had to deny. She looked down at the condemned and said, "All right, be quiet now, Kathleen." Pardoned. But it was too late. I'd gone bad. Dad was a docker. A man's man. Huge fists to match the swagger. Laid off when the freight containers came in. The mammy a hairdresser, but with Dad out of work, she decided to open a discount store. Dad was kept busy again. The brains were hers. And I'm growing up in this unit of Scouse Irish Papists. Close-knit and tight as a fist, but middle class now. Dad's graduated from pints of pale ale to G&T. Pints of Gordon's and tonic at the end of the day. Yak, yak, yak. Him and the mammy, always talking while Gran goes up early on account of her years. Grainy Gran, 5 foot small, with her folds of skin and live a bird laugh. Pushing 80, but shoulder still to the family wheel. She brought me up, while they were building an empire of sorts. The mammy driving it all, Dad resenting forever that she would only wed him if Gran came along for the ride. Me, desperate to leave. Finally I got away. Student me, naive and open to the arms of the boy I fell in with the very first week. Boom. Feel a little fresher every day, is what the T-shirt said. And that's what we did. Introduced to the family that tolerated this intruder, who was not Irish, nor Catholic, nor man's man. Dad remained sceptic, afraid for his daughter. But we were bonded fast. Dad could get no wedge in. Fated and sealed as those others faded away. Inseparable we were, until the mammy had enough of living. She checked into the Victoria Central with depression, and a few days later left by a second-floor window. Defenestration. What a word. The cause of it all was an overactive thyroid, they said. Boom. So I went back home to make peace in the war between Gran and Dad. Him drinking, her mourning. Me missing the boy. Gran became ill. Too ill to fight as I tended her wounds in that miserable house. I was away for almost a year. Letters and phone calls, the threads between me and the boy. His visits became less frequent as our bond became weaker. Then Gran passed away, broken by grief at the loss of her daughter and the natural order gone wrong. I returned to the boy. We had planned a trip to Spain, a getaway break for some respite care. On the night of departure, he told me about the affair that he'd had while I was wiping Gran's arse. Then he boarded the plane alone. Never trusted the fella, said Dad. A woman's man. Wanted to fit him up. Easily done, he said. A few drugs planted and it's Catalan jail for the boy. Just deserts. Just say the word. I couldn't let it happen, though. Some hope still alive. Dad arrived with a drawing and a van for me stuff. On the artwork he pinned to the door, an outline of his knuckle duster and the end scrawled under. Drama King. But I stayed and waited for the boy who returned 3 days late, strangely pale under his handsome tan. The boy who thought with his prick, a kiss on the cheek, I said, I don't like the smell of you any more. How could you do it? Who is she? And do you still love me? The boy looks at me. A bird flies in, crashing this party through the wide open window and shits over everything as he attempts capture. Three lost creatures flapping in desperation and panic. I stare at the books which line this small room. My guardians give me all that I ask for. Those pages evolve me. I study like a monk academic as I pick holes in the theory of Darwin. Those rogue genes, that acid which tells us to make life more interesting. Who knows what they will dream up for us next? Tears flowing in the madness. When the bird was liberated, I collapsed in a chair and he leaned over, looked down at me. Are you okay? I asked him again. Do you love me? Yes. No. I can't love you anymore. I kicked out hard and heard his rib crack. He stood up, just stood there, arms wide, inviting more. I got out of the chair and he leaned back against the shitty kitchen table. Everything shitty. Head drops. She's pregnant, he says. I grab a knife, a steak knife maybe, sharp anyway, stab him in the neck, red blood and shit. He looks up at me, a slight nod, I think. Almost a smile, love and remorse, no protest. Soulmate, he said. It took a long time, it seemed. Both stood frozen. Then he collapsed to the floor. I tried to save him with my snot and tears, crimson hands and the hot wetness. wailing for the boy, the mummy and gran. It's all over in this crazy kitchen. The moment of madness burned in me for life. Boom, the stolen eggs. Boom, the mutated gene. Dad came when he could, until his liver exploded. There was one other visitor, the unknown woman, whom I thought might have come to spit in my face. But instead, she was here to pass on two pieces of information. One, the boy had attempted suicide in Barcelona, but was saved by the valiant staff of Hospital del Mar. Two, she had miscarried the child. She left without malice. I may have been forgiven. Years pass, millions of them in this cell. Wheels grind slowly. Then parole was offered. I declined, so served the term, remaining alone to study and learn, to discover the place where I came from, where we all come from. 3 degrees on, and now this doctor looks in the mirror to find that my red hair is grey. That gene receded, unlikely to be passed on. I have arrived at today, and tomorrow released. They will open up the cage and set this bird free again, almost ready to explore the other side of the borderline. After all of the mess, all of that history, the meaning of death and the meaning of life. And this is everything I have learned from it, that eggs are not for the taking. That was Katie Boundary, written by John Adams and read by Rachel Cochrane. This short story was awarded second prize in the Room to Write Short Story Competition 2014.